listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Done for in great measure, you will do again, 'cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise, death is overcome.
All right, and we want to welcome all of you to Wednesday Live today. It's right now just a couple seconds, about a minute, I guess, past 11 o'clock. And you are listening to 89.9 WCNO in Palm City, Florida. So glad that you have chosen to join us today. And I have with me my faithful team. Karen is here.
Good morning.
Also known as the host of a great Friday morning program. How's your program going, Hidden Places, Karen?
It is going great. You know, we had a guest on last week.
Who did you have?
Our brother from Kairos Ministry.
Kairos Ministry. Mm. It was a great program.
Yeah, it was. I liked hearing about, you know, so he goes to the 1040 window, which many people have never heard of the 1040 window. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just that part on the equator, 10 degrees, but whatever it is. I can't explain it.
Longitude and latitude.
Correct, yeah, around the Earth. You know, where there's the most amount of people, but they're unreached people groups.
Mm.
And, you know, they have a criteria to, for what, you know, it means like less than 2% of the people have been evangelized, or there's less than 2% of those populations are Christians, never even heard about Jesus.
Isn't that wild to think that with all the technology today that there are still major people groups that are in that condition?
Yeah, yeah. You know, we had interviewed a guy, not on my program, but somebody a few years ago here at the station, I think before you guys got here, or before you got here, Jonathan, and this guy, same thing, as a missionary, said that there were still, or maybe it was PK that said it, there was still 1,000 unreached people groups. Mm. 1,000.
May have been PK.
You know, and that. It's, because we think everybody has heard, everybody knows. And
yeah, but not so.
No, they haven't. So anyway, but it was true. Good to hear from my brother John, and he's based here locally in Fort Pierce, and with his Kairos something, Global Ministries, that's what it
Kairos
is.
Global Ministry. Yeah. Tremendous. Yeah. Great program. And make sure you tune in every Friday morning, 11 o'clock. And so we have more of our Wednesdays, or not just Wednesdays, but we started with Wednesday, and then we've been adding additional mornings during the week at 11 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Karen, your program's on Friday, so that's still upcoming later this week. So please plan to be a part of that. David Francoeur, welcome, yeah, David. Great to have you with us during Wednesday Live.
Always great to be here.
And you are not only on Monday morning but Tuesday morning. You know how you now have two major programs right here on WCNO.
Well, and this is God's grace, you know, given to us to spread His word and through various means. You know, the programs have different formats. The Monday program, the Front Line, it's called, and that we interview ministries, people in ministry, local.
Right.
Statewide, national folk, as God brings them to us, and they share their God story, what their ministry is all about, what God is doing in and through them, you know, and success stories and all. That's very exciting.
It's good. It's a great program.
And then we started, I guess it was late last year, with a new program that looks at hot button issues that are scaring people in the news, right, but through the lens of the Bible.
And right.
So to share with people these scary things that are happening.
What are some of the topics you bring up in that Tuesday program? So what are some of your past program topics?
A lot of them would have a political flavor, you know, what's going on. You know, the issues, well, the DEI issue, the gender fluidity stuff, you know, all the things have been pushed by the previous administration. We'd also look at the Constitution, you know, the important the Constitution is, because so many of these things, eventually constitutional law is brought in to deal with them. So we also, like yesterday was really cool, very different way of doing our program. We had five students who are on the campus of the University of Minnesota. Now, Ann Limhoko, one of them is her nephew.
Ah,
and they all
great.
Came as a group here to do spring break. They're all believers. Many came to Christ through what they call the SALT ministry. SALT's not an acronym. It's because the salt of the earth.
Right.
It's a campus ministry there in Minnesota. And it's wonderful what they do to bring people to Christ, teach the students how to evangelize their own peers.
Wow, that's great.
And so, you know, we had a chance for them to talk about what's going on you know, the very secular left-leaning campus that they're on, and how they've been, you know, with it, and how they witness to Jesus in spite of the challenges put up by the administration. And other students that are totally ignorant and happy in their ignorance and proclaiming their ignorance until they meet Jesus. So that was a very edifying program.
That's great.
So that's the kind of thing we look at, what's in the news, maybe one issue, and how, what does the Bible say about it? So to Christians, you know, don't lose any sleep here. You know, this is how God's going to show us how to deal with that, how to pray for it, how to get involved, that kind of thing.
How does the program address the aspect of political events and what's going on like that? I mean, really, there's a biblical call to take issues into the Word of God.
Amen.
And seek to find the heart of God rather than just accepting what the news media might say.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you kind of balance that out? How does that work?
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to look, let's say we take abortion, for instance. Now, that's always in the news.
Right.
Well, we look at what do we see the worldview on that? What is the worldview saying? What are their values? And then, because that's what pops up in the news, but then we look at, go back to the heart of the gospel, or part of the heart of the Word of God. What does God say about life? And the quality and the sanctity of life, and how then, not only how do we deal with the issue of abortion in the broadest sense, but then how do we deal with the people, the pro-choice side, as far as addressing that issue biblically? And I mean, we'll look at it several different, you know, angles on that, and we have the people that are on the team, and I would say not so much me, I'm a moderator, which is a great place to be because the other people really know what they're doing. No, I'm just kidding, but I do have, you know, I do investigate with them, but between the other three folks that are the team and myself, we do take the different ways of looking at it, but ultimately it's through the lens of the Bible. What does God say? Because what God says is important to us as believers, right?
So, yeah, absolutely. And I know, Karen, you look at this as well. You're really looking to bring people into the presence of God and encourage them to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit. And I know a lot of the programs that you've had and guests you've had, their lives are very interesting. And but specifically, often you will have people sharing out of their God walk, and it's really important. And so I think it's important for our listeners to know that we here at WCNO, we're not pushing a political party. We're here totally to build the kingdom of God and to focus on biblical truth. Yeah. And so, you know, occasionally I've had someone say, well, you're too political, but the Word of God addresses political issues.
Yes.
And so we as the body of Christ need to have answers. The Word even talks about that we're to have an answer for every man for the faith that we have within us. And so we're living in a fallen world, but in the midst of a fallen world, we need to understand God's heart from the word he's given us. And so, Dave, thanks. Program's well done. Karen, program's well done. We're going to have a guest coming in just a moment. And, in fact, we can go ahead and invite Sue into the studio.
If I can just make a comment about, you know, because you had said we've now got the three programs. Well, it's four now, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I had taken a call from one of our listeners maybe a month ago or so. She had called up, I think, looking for a song or something. But I always, when I talk to somebody that, you know, one of our listeners, I always ask them, you know, what do they like about the station or don't like? And, you know, just try to get some feedback. And this one lady said, I love all the new talking shows or programs. She said, I'm really learning a lot and, you know, I'm getting a different perspective on things. And, you know, you don't really hear people talking, you know, the way that we're discussing different issues. So I just wanted to put that out there.
And that's that's important. And I think it's important that we remind our family that really the Word of God is intended to be able to address every issue in our life and in our world. And so God really is not silent on so many things. So we are... all right, we do have some information, and we have, I'm going to try to figure out how to properly welcome the...
We
need to have that. In fact, we have some new software today, and so with the new software we're talking about, we're going to have the and we're going to have some bells and whistles and some things like that. But we do indeed, with a lot of appreciation to you, Sue Chess, we welcome you as the executive director here, and you're now the president, right? CEO. You're the CEO, and of course, in our background, everybody was brother and sister.
It's true.
Sister Chess is here today, and we know in a Christian sense that's the case. But the CEO of CareNet of the Treasure Coast of Florida is with us today, and a lot of exciting things have been happening. So I just can't wait to give you an opportunity to talk about some of those things. And I was in the banquet the other evening, and I was there Thursday night, and looked like a pretty good sized crowd. So welcome.
Thank you. It is a true blessing to be here today.
Well, I know that that there's a lot of vision taking place, and I also know that that God is doing some awesome things in the body of Christ, and this is really great. But with CareNet of the Treasure Coast, tell us what's happening. We are going to want reports on the other night and how the fundraiser went and all of that, but what is happening? You had an awesome young couple there. That was fantastic.
So precious.
Yeah, that baby.
He is just such an adorable little boy. He just kind of pulls you right in. We always love having a very, very courageous young couple share with us their story, because what it does, it kind of puts into perspective what it is that we do, that we are fighting for the lives of the unborn. And I'm constantly amazed, and was reminded again in speaking with this young mother of all of the lies that she buys in her heart until she looks at that baby on the ultrasound and sees the reality. Because that's exactly what happened to her. She was telling herself things like, I can't do this. I can't be a mom. This wasn't planned. I wasn't expecting this. I can't afford this. We can't.
Is that typical, Sue? I mean,
yes, I was
listening to that, and I'm thinking,
that's my point, is that there is something about the lies that we tell ourselves when we are faced with an overwhelming situation. I don't know if you recall in the video how often she used the word overwhelmed.
She used that many times.
She was overwhelmed. Well, our society lives overwhelmed right now. Mm-hmm. And so you take an already stressed out couple who, I mean, they were newlyweds. It wasn't even that they weren't married or anything else. They were newlyweds, but they were stressed out from all of the details of life.
That was shocking to me, because I'm thinking, okay, here's a young couple, and it seems like their life is kind of in order, and yet the pregnancy was unplanned.
The last straw. It was suddenly the last straw.
Yeah.
And so all she's thinking about is all of the details that were overwhelming her. And I knew I had heard the word a lot, but then when I went back and looked at the video and realized just how often she used that word. And I realized what young couples are facing is just a sense of desperation in the day in which we live. And I think our very society communicates that to them.
So rather there being a goal and a desire and I guess a plan in advance that this is part of our life together and this is what we want. Is this something our nation has just created this atmosphere to where pregnancy is something that's difficult to manage?
And yes, yes.
I mean,
that's
I just
exactly
heard this.
What I think has happened.
There was a cry from their heart. It was like, yes. And I'm thinking, how could that be? This is normal.
Yes. You
know, it's normal for a young married couple to maybe have a child. I mean, that's not so unusual.
It is.
Or
it
shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. But it's what I think it's the sense that we have communicated in our culture today.
Wow.
That rather than to be lifting up and honoring the state of pregnancy, it's a full-blown, all-out, overwhelmed feeling that just makes them feel like they're going under. And my heart broke. But then something about her seeing the ultrasound pulled down the
lights.
That's
powerful, isn't it?
It was so powerful because it was so evident as we did the interview with this couple. Just the reality of what that literally seeing that baby on the ultrasound, the power of that is.
So having access to ultrasounds is so extremely important, really, for the saving of children and the saving of families.
Exactly.
And you think about just all the painful years and painful nights and moments that families end up with that don't choose life. Well, they certainly presented CareNet in a different light to me, because I'm used to the more, you know, a single mom, you know, maybe we know who the guy is, maybe we don't know. I mean, normally it there's a lot more fracturing, but this was kind of like a picture. It could have been, it could be one of our kids as pastors, you know.
That's what I loved about their story is these are churched young people. They, several of the people at their church were at the gala the other night. And I had them come up to me afterwards and say, just so you know, we're going to be there for them.
Wow.
We're going to surround them during this time. And the reality that abortion is in the church was underneath the surface of everything that went on at the gala, because that's where so many of our clients are from. 52% of the people who are getting abortions are coming from sitting in the pews last Sunday.
52%.
And that's why the church has got to address this. They just must, because it's there. I'll tell you just the neatest experience that I just had. A few weeks back, there was a young woman who came to our center that was very abortion-minded, and she was looking for an abortion. She wanted to know how much it was, and you know, we did, as we always do, we talked her through the reality of abortion and the reality of fetal development. We offered her a scan, and she accepted it. And she ended up being about 9 weeks along, which, of course, in the state of Florida, it's no longer legal to get an abortion at 9 weeks. That doesn't mean you can't get one. All you have to do is go to another state.
Mm-hmm.
But she agreed to come, and she decided, after seeing the ultrasound, to choose life. And 2 weeks later, she started coming to our church. And
wow.
She was new to the area, and I'm standing in the row, and I look three or four rows ahead of me, and there's this precious young woman with both of her arms in the air praising the Lord. And God spoke to my heart, and he said, see there? That's one of my daughters. Had she chosen abortion, there'd be a wall between me and her today.
And she would not have been in church.
She probably wouldn't have.
Yeah, most likely would not have been.
And totally unknowing of what choice she was really facing was separation, separating her heart from God.
So, Sue, how do we address this, and how do we move this from the reality into what's assumed? Because many people in church just assume that everybody knows that we don't do this. You know, life is precious and we guard life, and this happens out there someplace. And it's sort of like a lot of people in the church are just, they're ignorant of the crises. This is a crisis. When the church has more abortions than the world has, statistically, we have a huge crisis in the church. Mm-hmm. So how do we move from here?
First of all, we need to go before the Lord and humble ourselves, because the Bible
maybe
tells
repent.
Us. Yeah, we need to repent.
Because maybe we pastors need to repent.
You know, I had a pastor say to me one time, it just never occurred to me that this person's the difficulty that they're struggling with was because of abortion in their past. Wow. I asked him, did you ask her if it was? And he said, I never even thought about that. So maybe start there. If you have somebody in your church that's struggling with constant depression and having difficult bonding issues with their children or difficulties with their husband, or to just flat out say, could I ask you a question? Is there abortion in your past? Because all of these things, the flashbacks, the thoughts of I'm unworthy, all of these things frequently will go back to having chosen something like an abortion in their past, and it puts up that wall. And until they address that wall, it just keeps affecting their life. And so they walk through life bound up. And then reach out to CareNet and connect with our abortion recovery program.
Let's give that information out, Sue. People are listening today, maybe even a grandparent, a parent, or a person who is personally hurting and just really needs to know there's hope.
Yes. Well, the phone number for CareNet is 772-828-3168. And the email, if you want to email me, you can do that at sue@carenettc.com, and I will forward your email to our abortion recovery director. Her direct email is connie@carenettc.com.
Now, I want to come back to the banquet in just a moment, but I really just have to ask you, how did you end up having a passion for the life of a child like you do? Because you're a pastor's wife.
I have a story. Most of us do.
Yes.
And with us, and it's not something that's a secret, they're okay with me sharing this. With us, one of our children had an unplanned pregnancy, and it was very, very difficult for them. And they went to Planned Parenthood, and they were pressured to abort.
Wow.
Thank God they chose life, because God brought it to our attention and we asked them to go to CareNet. And many years later, I would say to my son, why didn't you go to CareNet?
First.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, Mom, I never heard of CareNet. He grew up in the church.
Wow.
Mm. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Was that ever a come to Jesus moment in my life? Our youth groups need to know about CareNet. And don't trust them to find out about it through advertising. Pregnancy centers don't have the money to advertise like Planned Parenthood does. So,
right.
I mean, we try, but nothing like Planned Parenthood has. And so, yeah, bring us into your youth groups to talk to the kids about making healthy choices in their life, so that if somebody in their youth group or somebody in their life has an unplanned pregnancy, they'll know about CareNet and go to the right place.
So that's really important. That's really
important.
And, you know, and it's not throwing rocks at anybody. Mm-hmm. It's just saying, listen, we really need to recognize the importance of getting this information out.
Yes.
And so I know now we've been talking over several years. You've been involved in this ministry for many years. And have you seen a big shift in the numbers in regards to the church? I mean, there's a lot more awareness. There's CareNet banquets. I mean, has that percentage dropped as far as the church's participation in abortion?
Well, last year we ministered to almost 3,000 teenagers.
That's a lot.
And that's very good news. And when I came into CareNet, our abstinence, as we called it in those days, had lapsed completely. And so, yeah, I would say we're doing a little better.
Okay.
But the need is so huge, and kids grow up and grow into youth groups and roll out of the youth groups, and we still battle against just the lack of understanding. You see, it's controversial to bring us in, and youth pastors have enough to deal with. And often youth pastors are men, and many times men, this is just one more difficult thing for them to have to deal with. They feel caught between the parents and the students anyway. And so why would they want to do something that may bring controversy with the the youth group parents? And so they just choose not to bring us in. And it's a bad choice because they know it's going on. Youth pastors know it's going on.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those difficult things that we're caught between an apathetic church and a hostile world most of
the
time.
Wow. And that is where we are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So tell us about the ministries CareNet provides of the Treasure Coast. I know there's several that are available and just some of the services that are available. Then we want to go to the banquet.
All right. Basically, we have three areas of ministry. Intervention, prevention, which is our abstinence or our saving sex abstinence group. And then there's intervention, which is the pregnancy ministry, where we have two locations in Port St. Lucie, and we're launching a mobile unit for Treasure Coast the end of June. And then there's our recovery program, which is our abortion recovery program in reconciliation. So we call it prevention, intervention, and reconciliation. Those are the three areas of ministry.
Excellent. Excellent. So the banquets, you have these once a year, twice a year?
Once a year. We do the banquet in the spring, and we do the Walk for Life in the fall.
So it is a fundraiser, but it's much more than that. It really is.
Yeah, it's an education piece.
It was tremendous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just really amazing. We brought, for the first time ever, we brought in Roland Warren, our CEO and president of CareNet National. And he's just a phenomenal speaker. He's always our favorite speaker at CareNet Conference when we go. And he oversees about 12 to 1,500 crisis pregnancy centers across the nation.
Really?
All of those are CareNets, yeah.
Wow.
And so he came in and was our main speaker, and we had on Thursday night we had 319, and on Friday night we had 587. And on Thursday night we had 78 churches represented, and on Friday night we had 81. So that was huge, very huge for us.
Wow.
We had four message was a strong one to the church.
It was a strong message. It was a really strong message to the church.
Yeah. Basically, he said, for when Jesus was basically an unplanned pregnancy by Mary.
I've never heard anyone else say that.
I know it. Well, we've gotten pushback when we've said it, because obviously it wasn't unplanned from God's perspective, but it was ours. From Mary's.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was the point.
And then God supplied Joseph. So he supplied Mary with a father, and how important the fathers are. And it's just so true what he said, and how Jesus, I mean, the model of Mary and Joseph, the family, that family is a perfect example of the way God provides for the family. And also just how you can make the correlation between the family and the church is beautiful.
That was a strong message, just I think, for there to be wholeness. And of course, yes. I really like the fact he was talking about not just life, but abundant life.
Abundant life, pro-abundant life.
And he made a big issue out of that you can be alive and not really have any abundance in your life. You can be in church and not That's have right. any abundance in your life. And the abundance really is where the fractures that have been pressed upon us by sin and just the fall, through Christ, there's a restoration and there's forgiveness and there's reconciliation. But the whole thing with dads and the importance of fathers in the family, and it was a powerful night. So it is a fundraiser also. And how did it go?
We raised $265,000, and that's beautiful.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Praise God. So you have different things. Do you still do the walk? You used to have a walk. And when is that?
Yeah, we do that in the fall, October the 12th. It'll be at the same place, the Mid-Florida Event Center.
Okay.
And if you want to reach out to us on that, just go to carenetfriends.com, and you'll find more information about that.
All right. Excellent. Well, we're going to go to a song, and then we're going to be back in just a couple moments. So can you stick around with us?
Sure.
Okay, great. And Dave, you've been kind of quiet. You might end up with some thoughts of your own here at some point.
Actually, the Lord reminded me of something. Ah. I could share it when we get back.
Okay, good deal. Good deal.
Mm-hmm. God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen.
And we're now coming back. This is Wednesday Live, and we're so glad that you are joining us today. Keep the dial set right there at 89.9, and you're listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And we have Sue Chess with us, who is the CEO president of Treasure Coast CareNet, CareNet of the Treasure Coast. So we've been talking about some of the things that's going on with CareNet, and what are some of the challenges we're facing? Because I know some that we just had Amendment 4, we had some issues that were really important, and the body of Christ kind of responded to that. Where are we with that? And what is really urgent for the body of Christ to be aware of?
We still get people not understanding the fact that because laws have gotten more stringent in the state of Florida, that there's still a very severe need. Because we now have a six-week heartbeat law, which means that once the girl reaches 6 weeks, it's no longer legal to get an abortion in the state of Florida. What most people don't understand is that abortion is still very much available simply by going over the border of Florida. Or
to where, Georgia, or
they,
where?
Well, Georgia has pretty strict laws as well. They would need to go a little bit further. I'll tell you what frequently happens is that there's an advertisement where they can literally get what they call a an abortion vacation, which is a pathetic phrase. But there's places where they can get the abortion paid for, and they can fly to where the abortion is done, that can be done clear up through the birth of the baby.
Really?
Say in New York, or say in some of these other states that they will.
Who's paying for this?
Sometimes it's the government, other times it's people that are funding it. But the truth is that abortion is very much available. I mean, one girl, as we're sitting there, we leave the room to go do the pregnancy test and come back in, and she says, never mind, I have an appointment made for an abortion. I'm going to fly there. And she says, it's so exciting because they're even going to pay my way there. And it is the reality of what we're looking at. The other reality is that girls don't wait. You know, we used to have 48 to maybe even up to a week that girls would wait and let us bring them back in a second time to do the ultrasound. That's no longer the case. They come in and they're wanting to make sure they're under that six-week ban. Because, believe it or not, while they are still able to get abortions, we are having an effect because births are going up. That's that's a statistic that we know is true, that there's been an 11% increase of births in the state of Florida. And that is a wonderful thing, that we're having more babies born. And because of that, we know that it is helping in some regards. But girls can still get abortion on through pills online, even though they're not supposed to.
How do they get the pills?
They can order from, they can go to abortionaid.org. They can.
So just mail order.
They can get it mail order. They don't see a doctor. 63% of abortions that are being done are now being done by pill.
63%.
And in 2017, it was like below 20% were getting the abortion pill. Now here we are in 2025. 2020, there was just an explosion of abortion by pill. And it has just continued to incrementally increase over.
What does this cost? Do they buy the pills?
They pay almost the same time. They pay almost the same amount as they used to for a surgical abortion.
For the pill?
Yes. Yes. And so you can just imagine which one the abortion provider likes the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They like the pills. So what this has meant to pregnancy centers is that they've had to hire more medical people, because you've got to be available to do, you've got to do an ultrasound for this precious woman within 24 hours. And even if she's not very far along, you can still bring her in and you can do an education piece with her. You can do an early scan on her, which may show, a lot of times girls are wrong about their due date, and they will come in and they say that they think they're about 12 weeks along and you scan them, or they may think they're like 4 weeks along and you scan them and they're 12. And then you're going to get a picture of a nice picture of a baby. You can show them the, you know, what's really going on inside of her. But even if not, we can show her a video of how the baby develops, how quickly it develops. We can show her little tiny fetal models, even of a 6 week baby or a 7 week baby. Let her hold it in her hand, because the sad truth is that we show her this baby in her hand, and what she doesn't realize, if that's how far along she is, 7 weeks, she could take the abortion pill and literally deliver a baby into the toilet that's about that size. And it will look like a baby when when the water washes off the baby, she will be able to see. Mm. And it is just heartrending. Our girls, their bathrooms are becoming the scene of the, that's becoming their abortion provider. And every time they walk into their bathroom, it's the flashbacks of this is where I did the deed. And sometimes nobody knows about it. They don't tell anyone. So chemical abortion is a lot worse than people realize.
Who makes money off these pills?
The people who make the pills are the ones who are making them.
So it's the drug manufacturers.
The drug manufacturers, as well as the drug provider, the people that are providing the pills.
So are the pills being dispensed through agencies or through doctors?
Sometimes they're coming from Mexico. Sometimes there's no understanding and no reality of knowing the protections that we have in the states on what is in a pill. We don't know. Our wonderful receptionist loves to do secret shopping. She will contact an abortion provider and pretend she's pregnant and see what they will do. And she told me not very long ago that she was 18 weeks along, and that's beyond the legal limit to get an abortion pill. And you're not supposed to take them after 10 weeks or 12 weeks, and up to 12 weeks. And sometimes they will say, she said to them, I'm 18 weeks along. Can I just take more than one dose? And they said, well, go ahead and take three doses if you'd like.
Wow.
It won't hurt you, they said. Mm. But at a different place on their very own website, it says abortion can be lethal to women. And so they're protecting themselves with the fine print at other places on their website, but they are not telling the truth when it comes to what she is doing and what she is taking, and her own safety is at risk.
So what if somebody dies from the pill? Is there any recourse for a family? Or
there would be if they would press charges, but then it goes public that they got an abortion
and they're embarrassed
and everybody knows. Yes.
So, with the change of administration, and I know we can't dig too deep in this, but is there any hope that maybe some of the programs that's promoting abortion may lose funding?
My hope is that RFK is going to, he's going to say this is not safe, because somebody needs to say this. It is not safe. What these girls are doing is not safe. If she has an ectopic pregnancy and she takes the chemical pill, it can be life-threatening. And there is an increase in ectopic pregnancies because chlamydia causes scarring in the uterus. And so if you have had several cases of chlamydia, it can cause scarring tissue in your uterus. And when the fertilized baby, it doesn't attach to the wall of the uterus. And then the baby, it can sometimes pass out, pass out of the uterus. But sometimes it could also end up in the fallopian tube and cause an ectopic pregnancy, which is life-threatening. And then she tries to get rid of the baby by taking the chemical abortion, and she begins hemorrhaging. And, you know, the very instructions on the medication says expect heavy bleeding. So what she's actually doing is hemorrhaging dangerously, and she doesn't realize it. She thinks it's the chemical pill.
Is this kind of marketed, do they falsely market this as if it's just another form of birth control?
Sometimes. But they do things to protect themselves, such as they put a black label warning on the box.
Really?
Yeah. And
what's the warning to?
The black warning box says that it's dangerous to do this.
And right on the box?
Yeah. And because, well, if it's packaged correctly.
Okay, sure.
But what is happening is these safeguards are being removed. Unless the girl dies and they trace it down to the chemical abortion, but what she's done is gone to the ER usually and told them that she's miscarrying rather than I took chemical abortion. And so then they don't correctly attach it to the person to what she took before she came to the ER. I mean, the girls are sometimes even counseled, if you end up in the ER, tell them you're miscarrying.
Wow.
It's all just a major subterfuge and cover-up that's going on that is not. I'm really, really in hopes that RFK is going to take a good look at this and say, these.
We need to pray about this, don't we?
Yeah, these
pray
things need to change.
That these things come to the forefront, that the real agenda and the evil is exposed for what it is, and that there are leaders in place that are going to be able to give the counsel where it's needed so that there can be some correction to this. Mm-hmm. I think the reality is we as Christians have been silently supporting a lot of things that would be horrifying if we knew actually where some of our tax dollars are going. So let's talk about what's going on with CareNet. I heard something about a bus.
As we've had to step up to cover, to increase medical cost, because we needed to hire more staff, what we finally made the decision, the very heart-wrenching decision to do, was close our brick-and-mortar location in Stewart, and instead we've gone to a mobile unit in Stewart. And we knew we were headed there, we just didn't know exactly when and where. Well, 2 weeks after we made that heart-wrenching decision, the board unanimously made the decision, we were contacted by a grant company that want to supply the bus, which for free. So this bus normally would cost like $250,000, and instead we're getting it for free. And all we provide the medical staff, the equipment, and the maintenance on the bus, that sort of thing will be on us. But this will give us the availability to go and do pregnancy testing wherever, and give them referrals to get them into access of care more quickly. And it's neat. Wow. Because Martin County is also rolling out a mom mobile, where they will be providing pregnancy care from a mobile unit, in addition to the fact that they are there's big plans to build a maternity birthing center in Martin County, because I don't know if you've heard the news that Cleveland Clinic has closed its maternity wing.
I heard that.
Yeah, it's a real crisis of care. It's turned Martin County into a hospital maternity care desert when it comes to providing the care. The girls will either have to go to Tradition, which is no longer Martin County, of course, and then, or to Palm Beach County, or, you know, it really does put a real issue in this county, in the Stewart area. So
what about in St. Lucie County?
St. Lucie County, there are hospitals that still do. Yeah.
Okay.
HCA still does maternity care as well, OBGYN. So it just makes sense that we are part of that dynamic of providing the care, because of, I mean, we get so many calls for girls looking for abortion, because we do advertising online to reach these girls, and we want to have a conversation with them and help them establish the fact that they have a viable pregnancy and then access them into care. And so it's just another piece of that puzzle. And so we're excited about that mobile unit. We should get at the end of May or the beginning of June.
So again, how was this available?
It came to us. We received funds from a Florida Pregnancy Care Network.
Oh, I see.
And so when this came available, they said, "Is there anybody else that could use a mobile unit in your area?" And
wow.
And we're thinking about the unit. I mean, the center that we had just closed in Stewart, and said, "Hey, yeah, us." And so it's just been we already had the relationship with them and have had for many years, and so it's going to be providing more pregnancy care.
This is tremendous that God opened that door up. Wow. So what are the prayer topics? How should people pray? And those who didn't get into the giving already, how could they give?
They still can give by just going to carenetfriends.com and click on the give or the donate place on there. You'll see it when you go to carenetfriends.com.
So it's not too late.
It's not too late to give.
Okay.
No, it isn't.
All right.
Funds generally will come in for a while, and we count all of the funds that come in between now and you know, probably for the rest of the month that are not already. Yeah, and we're also always looking for pledgers, just like you guys need pledge support. We do too. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Wow, that's excellent. All right. So, what about volunteers? What about pastors that are listening, saying we would like to do more. We'd like to connect. How can pastors, ministries, individuals be a part? What are the needs?
Well, reach out to CareNet. You can reach Leanne at CareNet TC, and Leanne is LEANN at CareNet TC. If you have any interest in wanting to become one of our church liaisons, and that would be for pastors and anybody that would like to do that. If you would like to volunteer, just go to CareNet Friends and click on the volunteer tab. And we are always looking for volunteers, because that's how we do our mommy mentoring program, is done by volunteers. Our counseling and peer counseling with our clients that come in is also done by volunteers. So we need you. If you're nurses, we're desperately in need of nurses. And if you're a nurse midwife, we need you. If you are a nurse practitioner, contact me. We're looking to hire a nurse practitioner part-time. So all of these things, we're looking for RDMS. If you do sonography for ultrasound, please contact us at that. Go to that volunteer tab on CareNet Friends.
Wow. So, David, you had a thought you wanted to bring in. We still have a few minutes.
Yeah, well, I was, you first started sharing, and I was reminded when the Lord, I got saved November 3rd, 1976. And so then I moved into the Christmas season, and I remembered clearly the first nativity scene I saw after I got saved just grabbed me. And to see the baby Jesus, I mean, I'd always seen nativity scenes all my life up until that point when I was 26, so I was a little young man. But the first time God chose to be grow in a womb, mm-hmm. to come as a little baby. And that really blew me away. It still does. Then advancing a little bit, God called me to be ordained. I got ordained, got into the church. And it seemed to me that the church as a whole is so anxious to get Jesus on the cross and then resurrected, which is important. We zip right past what God chose to do in the very beginning and how much God loves us. He loves us so much, and we can begin to understand and appreciate it, but it starts that love. We start to see it in the creche. But first, and we have to know, before Jesus got in the creche, he was in Mary's womb, and he was being formed and shaped there. And we somehow forget that. And the church itself, I mean, if you, people that are unsure, we talk about them, we know about them, but the church, I'm going to indict my, to some degree, my own colleagues, because we have failed from the pulpit to really, really focus on that point. It is so crucial. It is so foundational.
We just did something Sunday, Sue, in a way we've never done it before as a church. We just rent a facility because we're still trying to figure out how to get a building built, and we're trusting God in that. So we have one of our elders who, actually, they live in Jacksonville, but we had need of a baby shower. And so, like, how do we do this? We just have one building and we only have it like a couple days a week. So how do we do this? So we ended up following the service. We had dinner and then we had a baby shower, but the whole room was set up for a baby shower. So we have banners. We have all this stuff up. So one of the elders is talking with me afterwards, and he was just talking about the fact that it was kind of unusual and wondering, you know, how does this work? So he went online, did a little bit of research, I think YouTube, just looking to see about churches that have baby showers, you know, in their building or in their auditorium or something. And he came up with this one pastor that was talking about that this is such an amazing opportunity to celebrate and to bring back the value of mothers in the congregation, yeah. and to actually make it a point of focus. And so he was sharing this, and he said he hadn't really thought about that so many times baby showers are in someone's homes and they're someplace else. But really, in the church, we need to start celebrating,
yes.
the family. We need to start celebrating fathers, celebrating mothers, celebrating the birth of a child. And it was unbelievable, the response of the people, the food. We could have fed another 100 people. I mean, it was crazy how much food there was. And someone said, well, normally, you know, there's not any meat. I mean, there was just everything imaginable. But it took almost an hour for this couple to open all the gifts. It was such a mountain of gifts. So yeah. they had to get a relative that has an empty van to transport all the gifts back to Jacksonville. And so we were just thinking about that there are things that we can do to actually celebrate life.
Yeah.
And to encourage young couples to know this is the plan of God.
Yes.
And it is normal. And I just think back to the couple that were sharing and how significant their testimony was to me, sort of in awakening in me this awareness that even in the church, there is this unfounded, ungrounded assumption that this is going to be scary and unmanageable.
Yeah.
We must change that.
We must.
As pastors, pastors' wives, ministry leaders, and Christian people, we must change that to where our young people know, listen, yes, you may have jobs, and that's what she was saying. I'm working full-time, my husband's working, we're busy, we have all this stuff going on, we really don't have a budget for this, how are we going to be able to afford this? But here they are.
Here they are.
And there was a lot of support.
Yes. Did you hear our president, J.D. Vance, when he spoke at the National Walk for Life in Washington, D.C.
I didn't. What was the gist of his?
When he got up, he basically, the gist of his whole talk was, make more babies.
Really?
I want America to make more babies.
Wow.
Can we celebrate the children again? Can
that's
we be
awesome.
Thankful for our babies? Because they are wonderful, and that's what the future is made up of, is
and
babies.
And so much fun.
It is fun.
So much fun and so much joy. And, you know, the grandparents, which, you know, I see these grandparents, they're like, oh, this is just awesome. We can take them back. We keep them for a while and spoil them, and then we take them back. But, of course, when we were growing up, children were in the services.
Yes.
And somehow, I don't know, maybe we were just special kids, but we learned to be kind of a part of the service. And pastors learned to accept. And to me, seeing kids lined up in the row and maybe one or two sleeping under the chairs, and even for all-night prayer meetings, I remember going to all of these things. We have lost so much of the community and the family aspect. I know we have children's ministries and a lot of other things, but somehow I miss some of that.
I
think we need to bring some of the celebration back. Sue, would you just lead us in a moment of prayer? Because I believe God is doing something special in our nation right now. And I believe the restoration of life is part of that. And I believe you're a key part here in the Treasure Coast of seeing that happen.
Father God, thank you today for what you are doing. Your plan is just, we're in awe of it. The word awesome fits here. Mm-hmm. And Lord, we're thankful for all that you are doing. We're thankful for the good gossip that is spreading across our nation to do things like, let's celebrate the babies. Let's be thankful for our children, knowing that they really are our future. Thank you, Father, for all of it that you're doing, because it takes many pieces to make a healthy family. And so, Lord, I pray for the family right now, that mothers and fathers will see their children as extremely important to the legacy that they leave, and that they will be able to focus on them the way that they need to be focused on, that they will be intentional in the way that they raise their kids, that it won't be just allowing them to grow like weeds, but it's intentionally cultivating them to be the beautiful flowers that God intended. Father, we pray for the families, we pray for the churches, because we know that if the church is strong, the family will be strong.
Yes.
And God, we pray for our pastors who just carry a huge weight upon their shoulders to make all of it happen. Father, I pray that you will help your people to be salt and light wherever you place them, Lord.
Yes,
and we know
Father,
that you place them in all of their important places. So we're thanking you in advance for all that you're going to do. And Father, for the small part that CareNet gets to play in that, I thank you for that as well. Please, Lord, will you help us to do what we are supposed to do to the very best of our ability for the last possible moment that you give us upon this earth, and we will be grateful for all of it, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we have been praying for revival. I believe we are seeing signs of revival.
Yes, I do. Amen. Too.
I believe we are. We're going to go to a song, and we'll be back next week. Thank you, Sue, so much for joining us.
Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
We didn't quite make it to the song, but God bless you.
Christians
you
around
too.
The world.
You got
attending church has become nothing more than a Sunday morning exercise. It's a physical trip to a church building where we sit in rows and listen to a pastor present a sermon. But the Christian life is far more than that. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents a refresher course on spiritual growth. You see, part of the Christian life includes engaging with other believers for the soul.